And it's in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. It's Jesus speaking, where he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. My title tonight is "The Rest of a Lifetime." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to study your word, oh Lord, to hear your word. God, help me, oh Lord Jesus, to teach your word tonight. Lord, anoint my words that someone may hear, may be comforted, and find that rest, oh Lord Jesus, that you promised us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Brother Darren was talking about "come out from among her." That's another one of those verses where Jesus said, "Come." Right. God has always called to his people to either come to him or return to him. And that's something about the word of God. It never gets old or boring. One author said, you can take a needle, the kind of needle that you sew with, and it's smooth and beautiful as it looks on the outside. You put it under a microscope and you can see every jagged edge on that thing. Any man-made thing, you can just see the imperfections in it. But when you read the word of God, hallelujah, no matter how much you dissect it, analyze it, it is amazing. And it will always, always just show you something new or repay you. In this particular scripture, breaking it down, that's grace language. He said, "Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden." That's an invitation to all. You guys know what the Greek word for all is? All. I love that because it's all inclusive. Whosoever. Whoever. Anyone. And my favorite, what's his face? If I'm nothing, I'm anyone. I'm whosoever. And being in the military, being a man with a family, I want all the benefits I got coming to me. Come, the simple command of come. To come, by definition, is to leave one thing and to advance to another. In fact, that's one of the many ways that we know that he's Jesus, that Jesus is God. Because he used the same command in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I said it before, I'll say it again. The God on the left side of the book is the same God on the right side of the book. First one, very famous scripture, Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen. And in Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat ye, eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Yes. Verse 2, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and let your soul live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and even the mercies of David." This is a come to Jesus moment. when he says that. Come to Jesus. I hear that so many different times and so many different contexts, but this is the original. Come to Jesus moment. I think of when he was walking on the water and Peter said, Lord, if it be you, please bid me come out on the water with you. And he just held out his hand and gave that simple command, come. Repentance and faith is what he means to this call, come. The repentance which leaves that place where it was and advances its way to Jesus, where we now stand. It reminds me of two hymns, two of my favorite old hymns. You probably know them. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus said, come, and the writer of this song came to him. What? Well, the writer of the next hymn said, you probably know this one, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou biddest me come, to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Yes. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood is cleansed each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Jesus says, come, and we come. Amen. Just a simple command, come to him. Can you? Anybody ever heard him say to you, come? Well, I'm here Wednesday night. Of course, yeah, you heard that. Thank you. I'm in the right place. The gospel is to be preached to every nation, to everybody under heaven. And this passage is addressed to all those who labor under heaven. Now, there's work. There's what we do our job. Then there's labor. I heard this at General Conference. Labor, district conference, thank you. Labor is work that is painful. All right. Painful work. I've witnessed labor four times in my life for four of my children. All right. For the birth of four of my children. And my wife went through, experienced the labor. I did some hand holding. I did some advanced hand holding. Through the whole thing, but I was there, and I cut a couple of umbilical cords, a few umbilical cords. But labor is painful work, or labor is that work that you do because you have to. There's no other reason for it, or you're laboring for something that you shouldn't be. Somebody say, laboring under the delusion. Before we're saved, before we come to Jesus, we covet so many things and we chase after so many things and we work for so many things that we shouldn't. We make so many things our goal that we shouldn't. That's the labor. That's the laborer he's talking to here. And are heavy laden. There's a burden. There's a burden of sin that we used to carry. It's a burden that you should not be carrying. Sometimes it's a false burden, but it is a burden nonetheless, and it weighs you down. When you participate in church activities without true repentance, you could be burdened. You could be burdened, or you could be laboring. Right. Yeah. That's why we have altar calls. Yes. week. Jesus says, come.
Right.
He wants to relieve you of that burden. Because some are laboring in prayer. Some are laboring in traditions. Some are laboring in denial, self-denials. But in reality, they are laboring trying to save themselves. This is known as self-righteous labor. The heavy laden is referring to the burden of people, burden of past sins and the wrath of God for that sin. You may know someone like that, or you may have seen someone like that. We know them as those who maybe have backslid and gone astray. They're heavy laden. God wants to relieve them of that burden. Amen. They're avoiding. They're exhausted, avoiding and covering their tracks, denying. As I stated before, the God of the Old Testament said, come. Then he robed himself in flesh, and now he says, come. Now, if you're unsure whether or not you have a burden or whether or not you need this rest, I made a list.
All right.
I made a list. And it might sound like a commercial, but bear with me. If you can relate to some of them, please say amen. If you've been looking for love in all the wrong places, then you need rest. When you're so tired of everything, of everyone being in your business, you need rest. When you're tired of being used by your friends, you need rest. When you're so tired of being in relationships that don't go anywhere, you need rest. When you're so tired of a life of secrets and keeping secrets, you need rest. When you're so tired of being the only one that cares about something, you probably need rest. When you're tired of having to cover your tracks everywhere you go, you need rest. That could be exhausting. When you're tired of having to carry your family, carry the team or the whole burden by yourself. Anybody ever been there? You probably need rest. That reminds me of students at Job Corps. So students who probably can't come to Job Corps. I had the misfortune or blessing to meet a student who from the age of 9 years old had to take care of herself with a condition, some of you may know what it's called, sickle cell anemia. And she had to go to the hospital by herself to get those transfusions, to get her transfusions and to get those treatments. Every adult she ever met had failed her. She ever knew had failed her. So needless to say, when she came to Job Corps, she was a difficult student to direct and redirect to right behavior. And in those instances, we were advised to show them some grace. Show them some grace. Sometimes we don't know everyone's story. We do not. But Jesus says to them gently and graciously, come. Come to him. He will relieve that burden. He will give you rest. Amen?
Amen.
When you're tired of being the only one that has to hold everything together before it all falls apart, you need rest. He's calling you. Come. When you're tired of being the one that's always on hold, you're the one that's always waiting for something, you need rest. When you're tired of being the one that always has to pick up after everyone else, you need rest. When you're tired of being the one taken advantage of, you need rest. When you're tired of living in fear of being found out, you need rest. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. This is a promise. I have witnessed and been part of many baptisms in Jesus' name. And in every instance, every time the brother or new sister has said, they feel lighter, like a big load has been lifted off their shoulders. Amen. That heavy load has been removed. This is the rest or relief God gives us. But from that burden of sin that we once carried. It is the rest from the guilty conscience that we were so used to for so long. The guilty defendant, the prison one in jail, he can't rest in his cell. He can't rest in that cell. He, no matter how comfortable it is, he cannot rest there because he has a good idea of the sentence that's coming for his crime, his or her crime. But the believer, hallelujah, the repentant sinner, those who have been baptized, repentant and baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, that memory of sin, he looks at it as, well, he knows that nothing can be in two places at the same time. So that if his Lord and Savior took upon his sin, if his sins was placed on our Lord and Savior, then it's not on him anymore.
Right, right. Amen.
And he's really, how many feel good about that?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Then that burden is lifted.
Yes.
Remember that. Yes. If you talk to someone who was heavy laden or right. burdened down by their past sins, remind them of that basic principle of science. No object, nothing. Nothing can be in more than one place at one time. And that justice demands that only one price be paid for one crime.
That's right.
You no longer have to pay for your sin.
That's right.
It's already been paid for. Drive that point home with them if you can. Chances are you're going to meet someone who doesn't know that. But what about the memory of sin? What about I still remember the things I did in the past. I still remember, have a memory of my sin. Well, two things there. Yeah, you might remember, but also remember he died for that sin.
Good.
Also, without that memory, we couldn't testify to the goodness of God. Without the memory of what I did do, I couldn't testify on how good God is. I wouldn't be able to testify or look and see the growth that I have made. I wouldn't be able to take heed to the warning that has been preached to me, that I've been warned about if I didn't have a memory of that sin. Any of you ever heard of the term scapegoat? You know, that's a biblical term. Oh, yeah, it is a biblical term. I first heard that word at work. Somebody was on vacation. They had a problem at work, and they blamed it on a guy who was on vacation, who wasn't even there. He was the scapegoat. The believer, the one who has repented and been baptized in Jesus' name, realizes that Jesus was his scapegoat. That his sin has been placed on the goat that escaped out the back of the temple.
Right.
These words serve both as an offer of salvation and a life of comfort and care of our Savior. To come to Jesus is to step away from a life of sin because you trust him. You're going to come to, we only come to Jesus because we trust him. Remember Peter on the walk getting out of the boat. He had to trust Jesus when he said, come. They also mean that we know who he is and we can navigate this life through his toys and snares because he will never leave us nor forsake us. He gives us permission to recover. He gives us at rest. Have you come to Jesus and has he given you that perfect rest? It's an honest question. It's like that's other questions. Have you received the Holy Ghost when you believed? Have you come to Jesus and has he given you that rest, that perfect rest that we need? Has he relieved you of your burden of sin? Next part is, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Then it goes on to comment on that yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. I just want to pause right here and give a Bible study tool about rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God always has context. He said, come unto me, all ye who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we talked about how he is relieving us of that burden of sin. And then right here, he says, take my yoke upon you. Hold on, I was just laboring. You took away my labor. Now you're going to give me a yoke again? If you take that out of context, yeah, that would be the unlikely conclusion. But as my brother and good friend, Brother Darren, always says, no. The word of God has context. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke he's providing is different from the yoke that we were under. Amen? The burden he has is different from the burden of sin that we used to carry. This is illustrated also in John chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. It says, and Jesus said to her, whoever drinketh this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And if you know the story of this woman, Jesus told her all that she had ever done. Go and tell your husband to come here. And, you know the rest of the story. She had five husbands. But the thing about that, she was the only one at the well when Jesus was talking to her. The Bible doesn't say any other person that was at the well. So that means because of the life she lived, she had to get to that well when no one else was there. Maybe had to get up very, very early in the morning. Maybe had to walk a very, very far distance to a well where no one was. She was laboring. She was exhausted. Why am I doing this? Going through this? If you have water that I can drink and never thirst. Amen. She was someone laboring with sin. She was burdened. She had to go out of her way to get a drink of water. Go out of her way to get her needs met because of sin. And Jesus said, come. Another example, John 6:35. And Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, shall out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. But this he spake of the Spirit, yes, which they had believed on him should receive, For the Holy Ghost had not yet given, was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He wants to relieve us of that burden. He wants to fill us with his Spirit.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Yes. My brothers and sisters, it's not enough to know about him. We must learn to obey him.
Yes.
I'll say that again. It's not enough to know about Jesus. We must learn to obey him. And that yoke he puts on us, that was an instrument that they used back then for harvesting and for planting. They would yoke two oxen together. And as I'm told, they would have one oxen who was experienced or who had the good habits and yoke him with another oxen of the same strength. So that when they turned together. They were equally yoked. Thank you. Thank you. So that they can, when they turn together. When they move forward together. And when they lay down together. Now, maybe it's me, but it just seems to me that if Jesus wants us to take his yoke upon us, don't it just make sense that he's on the other side of that yoke? The one with the meek and lowly spirit is on the other side of the yoke he has you under. Amen. We can learn him. As some people say, I learned from the best of them. We are learning from our Lord and our Savior. Amen. To lead us and guide us in his way, because he is the word of God. Titus 2 verses 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that bringing salvation has appeared to all men. There's that grace language again. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction and instruction in righteousness. That's who's teaching. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. James 1:21 and 22. Wherefore lay up all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. In verse 22, ye be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We must learn to obey him and be a doer of the word. Amen. As our extreme example, he is asking us to trust in him, someone who humbly washed his disciples' feet. King of kings, Lord of lords, master of everything, humbly washed his disciples' feet, who was obedient unto death, who carried his own cross. He was meek and lowly in heart. In 1895, a man named Johnson Oatman wrote a hymn. We sing here sometime, no, not one. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He is meek and lowly. Sounds like whoever wrote that song, they were at rest. Amen. They were at rest in Jesus. But I can't help but notice the language of take my yoke upon you and take up your cross and follow me. They sound the same to me. In Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know that scripture is the same in Mark and Luke as well as Matthew. That is a good homework assignment if you ever get a chance to do it. Those scriptures that are the same in three or all of the Gospels. People who are very, very important really don't like to repeat themselves, but when they do, it is something very significant when they do. Amen? He said, if he lose his life for his sake, he shall find it. And he promises here that we will find rest for our souls.
Amen.
This is the second rest. The first one is the rest he gave us that he promised us. Come to me, all ye who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise.
Yes. Right. Good.
But then after we have taken his yoke upon us and learned from him, then it's a rest that we find. It's a rest that we discover in him.
Amen.
And I'm going to go back to district conference on you for a minute. This is the half that cannot be told. That rest that we discover, that rest that we find in him, that's a rest that we can only have by experience. It is hard to describe it, but I'll try to tonight. But it is something you have to be experienced for yourself. The believer has been given rest from his labor and heavy burden. Now he finds rest in Christ Jesus more than he could ever ask or think. The half has not been told. Some call it contentment. Some call it satisfaction. In fact, some people describe it like a job that you love so much that you don't even feel like you're working. Yeah, there's a saying like that. When you have a job that you love doing, you never work a day in your life. It's just one blessing after another. You always end up in the right place at the right time, or things just kind of fall in place where you're at the job that you're at, or you're working in a job with a group of people who all do what's expected of them. You're not burdened with someone else. You just love it. You just love working in a place like that. But there are some other descriptions in the Bible about the rest, about that perpetual rest. When you think about it, or the Canaan, the land of Canaan, must have been a type of rest for the children of Israel. Because remember, God led them out of Egypt, freed them from the bondage of sin, their heavy burden of sin and that laboring. Then for 40 years, they went from camp to camp, living in tents. For 40 years, hot days in the desert, cold days at night, for years, packing and unpacking. You know, it says in, I think, Numbers, Leviticus, 42 times they moved and pitched the tent again and again, and they moved again and again and again, living in tents. And then the occasional war they had to fight. Then they moved to the land of Canaan. Hallelujah. Houses already built.
Yes.
There must have been something. Land flowing with milk and honey.
Yes. Amen.
That was rest to them.
Yes.
That was a rest to them.
Yes.
The Sabbath is meant to be a rest for us, for God's people. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as God did with his. Work during the 6 days, where that's your duty. 6 days thou shalt labor, but on the seventh day, but on the Sabbath, enjoy perfect rest, both in body and soul. It's like I said, it's very difficult to describe the rest that we have in him. Some call it a joy. We have a contentment or a joy in him, and it's a source of strength. To be at rest in him. Another way that I've seen it described is in various songs. I'll name a few titles, and maybe you again can get it after this. I'm going to be closing here soon. One song: Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. She says, nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Right, right, right.
That's the songwriter and the singer in that song. It was someone who has found rest in Jesus. Another old hymn we sing here, leaning on his everlasting arms. What are you doing but resting if you're leaning on Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
Another one, blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Amen?
Right.
It's just those songs like that. If you can gravitate to those songs, if you can sing those songs, at every Bible study I give, I try to encourage people to learn the songs. Did he save you? Did he relieve you of your burden of sin? Then that means we owe him our praise. Amen? We can sing those songs of praises like we mean it, because that's what he did. That is a true fact. Make a joyful noise in the Lord. This is that noise.
Right.
Learn the words to that song. When I first came to Apostolic Lighthouse, I noticed that we didn't have song books or song sheets for all the songs that were on the board, that were up on the screen. So what I used to do is I would try to remember one phrase in it or one title, and then I would go home and Google it, and I had my own song list. I had a book with like 15 songs that I would sing at home, you know, and I sing the same songs on the way to work, and it just gives my heart joy that, Darren, listen, y'all got a bunch of songs since way back then. My song book would be this thick. I would have every song. But I keep the words to all those songs, and that's part of my morning devotional. I drive 45 minutes to work, and that's what I'm doing in my car. I can't remember the last time I had the radio on in my car when I'm driving. Those are my songs. That's what I do. because they have just really touched my heart, and I just want to give Jesus all the praise and all the glory. Would you do that with me? Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, and your mercy, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this great salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for calling us out of darkness, God, into your marvelous light, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for relieving us of the heavy burden, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this rest, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your spirit, the spirit of liberty and freedom, Jesus. Thank you for freeing my brothers and sisters. Thank you, O Lord Jesus, for washing them clean, O Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just can't thank him enough. Another one is the goodness of God. Man, all my life he has been faithful. All my life he's been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sounds like someone, you know, who talks in their sleep and they're talking of the goodness of God. Another one, you're a good, good father. You're a good, good father. And it's something about, and I only know this because when I became a father, that my children were more secure when I was at home. One of my oldest daughter, my youngest daughter, my baby girl, Cassandra, some of you know her. She told me one day when she was about 7 or 8, Daddy, I can't sleep when you're not home. I don't sleep good when you're not home. He watches over us. He watches over us so that we can rest. Amen. He takes care of things so that we can rest. He relieved us of that heavy burden, and he called us into his marvelous light. And again, he watches over us. He is secure so that we can rest assured. Amen. Please drive that point home to someone today. Please testify to that if you know what that's about. Let them know he's here so that you can rest. He's a good, good father, and I'm loved by him. Would you stand with me? Justification. He gave us rest from the heavy burden. And sanctification will give you rest for the rest of your life. And then when we get to that heavenly place, amen, that will be glorification. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would you thank him with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for calling us, God. Thank you for that simple command of come. Lord Jesus, bless my brothers and sisters here. Help them, oh Lord Jesus, to come to know what it is to rest in you. You have relieved their burden, Lord. Let them know what it means to be content and have joy in you, oh Lord Jesus, and to serve you with joy and gladness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help them, oh Lord Jesus, in their testimony. Bless their testimony to those in their families and friends and co-workers, God, that they may know, oh Lord Jesus, that they don't have to labor under a delusion or carry that heavy burden anymore, God, that they can be free in you, oh Lord Jesus, and find rest for their souls. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Just real quick. Josiah, you still have that slide up for the men's retreat. Can you put that back up? I just want to point out that really the best way to register for men's retreat is to email Brother Harvey, because there's beds that he's got to fill up. If you're interested in going, take a picture of that email, or, you know, I can text it to you, but you got to email Brother Harvey, or there won't be enough beds for, you know, it fills up quick. All right. Good. How many think they're going to go to men's conference, men's retreat? All right. Good. No ladies raised their hands. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother Andre.